Chapter 5. Carpathia to the Rescue. I decide to wake my aunt up. "Aunt Elizabeth," I said, in a low voice, shaking her gently. "What's wrong?" she said, sitting up. "Are you seasick again?" "No, listen to me. The Titanic is sinking. We must go on deck and help the crew." "Oh, Charlotte, did you have a nightmare?" Aunt Elizabeth asked. "The Titanic can't sink. Go back to bed. It's the middle of the night." "No, it's true," I shouted. "The captain needs help preparing for the passengers from the Titanic. The Carpathia is going to save them. Come on, Aunt Elizabeth, we must help." On deck, Captain Rostron was talking to a small group of passengers, and we joined them. Almost all of them had their coats on over their nightclothes, like Aunt Elizabeth and me. The air was much colder than before. Some of them were angry that the Carpathia was changing direction and didn't seem to care at all about the Titanic. "I must go to Gibraltar, Captain. My sister has just had a baby and she needs me to help her," said a large woman with lots of rings on her fingers. "I paid a lot of money for my first class ticket," shouted a tall man with a moustache. "I'll make a complaint if you don't follow the original route." The captain held his hands up and waited for everyone to stop talking. He explained that there were three other ships in the same area as the Titanic: the Mount Temple, but it was blocked by ice; two other ships, the Olympic and the Frankfurt, were both further away from the Titanic than us. There was no choice. The Carpathia was the only ship that could help the Titanic. "But the Titanic can't sink," one lady cried. "Everybody knows that." "Surely the Titanic can wait for the other ships in the morning," said another. I couldn't believe how inconsiderate these people were. I left Aunt Elizabeth listening to the captain and ran back to the radio room with a cup of hot tea and some biscuits from the dining room. Harold was probably tired and needed something to help him stay awake. He was sitting in front of the radio again, and he looked at me as I walked into the room. He looked terrible. "Is there any more news?" I asked. "There are some noises from the Titanic, but I can't hear what they're saying," he said, frustrated. "I've sent them messages every 10 minutes to tell them we're coming, but I don't know if they can hear me." He pushed his hands through his hair. His face was white and he had dark circles under his eyes. He sent a message and said over the radio, "We're travelling at high speed. Look for our signal rockets." I looked at the clock. It was 2:30 a.m. I had to go back to Aunt Elizabeth before she noticed I was gone. "How long before we reach the Titanic?" I asked. "About another hour and a half," he said. "I only hope we're not too late." I returned to the other passengers as an elderly man was explaining to his wife that the seawater was 2 degrees Celsius below zero. "Nobody can live for more than 30 minutes in such cold temperatures," he said, shaking his head. "Heart attack or hypothermia will kill them all if they're in the water." His wife covered her face with her hands. "What a nightmare for all those poor passengers. Imagine all the children, and babies too." "Go faster," I thought. "We need to help those poor people."